B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
I think LaFleur has done it a little bit this year with the Packers. They didn't have a lot of struggles this year, obviously. Shanahan has done it a little bit to a point this season. Guys do it, but like, look, when we say that and when that gets brought up, we're not talking about, well, geez, McNabb sucked today, right, guys? Like, we're not talking about that in a press conference. We're talking about, yeah, you know, we had blocking established on this side of the line of scrimmage and, you know, we had a missed block play by Brandon Brooks, yeah. whoever it would have been.
That's the other question I had, too, about when you mentioned McNabb. We know what Andy's, like, duties were when he was here. I'm not up to date on what he does out in KC. Does he have full, last call on player personnel?
I don't think he admits to it, but he does. And I think Dorsey even left there because of another power struggle.
So Mahomes was his pick then?
Yes.
All right. Well, I mean, you can't fault the guy. He knows what he's looking for when he's looking for it. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
If he wins, great. I'll be happy for him. But it will be weird to me to see our guy who was our guy, like, in NFL footage, like wearing red, hoisting a Super Bowl. Like, and listen, this is all the happiness I have for him or anybody has for him is all because we have one now. Because if we didn't,
right. Thanks for the call, Steve. I appreciate it, man.
Well, it's funny. If it was a year, two, three after he left and he was hoisting it, feeling weird, yeah, I could see that. But it's been, like you said before, Mark, it's been 7 years. Like, no, I'm not feeling weird if he wins. His time here was great. It passed. It's done. Yeah, I root for him to win it. Yeah, I kind of, like, I'm not going to be outwardly rooting for Kansas City, but like I said, I would more he win it than anybody else.
You are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPN Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast, ladies and gentlemen. And when you think about Andy Reid and his time here in Philly, it really did teach me a lesson that a lot of people pay attention to press conferences. And I don't know if it was because as the years went on here in Philadelphia, his press conferences got more and more notorious. Like, oh my God, look, this guy doesn't say anything in his press conference. Look, he sidesteps everything. And then that started to frustrate people over the years. Or if that was just the way it's always been in Philadelphia, where people would pay attention to the press conference. But I know Andy Reid was the first guy that people really went, oh my God, look at this guy. This is amazing.
We pay attention to everything in this town.
Yeah, but like,
we're nuts.
Yeah, like, for instance, like a Rob Lowe thing happens in Philadelphia where a guy's just wearing a hat, and yeah, we're talking about it. You know what I mean?
People make Mike Trout Eagle football jokes, like, nonstop. You know what I mean? Like, we look at everything in this town.
We really do. but I think when people get rubbed the wrong way in a press conference, I think that really does carry a lot of weight in this city.
And it does.
Like, I'll go to this. Like, Buddy Ryan is a guy that is beloved in this city. And that's always the name that gets brought up with Andy Reid.
Yeah.
Because you had all the success in the world other than a Super Bowl with Andy Reid, and you had nothing other than a great defense with Buddy Ryan. And then, hey, Randall, go figure it out. Buddy Ryan was a guy, and we've talked about this with Ron Jaworski while he's been on with us. His play, like, he would take out Jaws, and he would put in Randall.
Yeah.
Like, on third and long.
Oh, yeah. Because yeah, Jaws love was getting guy. Sacked like every other down.
Mm-hmm.
So the Eagles were constantly in third and longs. And he developed this scheme of, all right, well, we're going to put in this rookie quarterback who can run a lot. And he'll get back there and he'll scramble and make things happen. Yeah. That was probably the most innovative thing offensively Buddy Ryan did.
That was not a bold strategy. Not a good one.
Not a good one.
But if you polled Eagles fans, who do you remember more fondly?
Exactly.
Buddy Ryan's going to win that most likely, which is asinine.
Yep, exactly.
So what? Now, here's the thing. That generation of football is so far removed now that I think some people would start to come back around on Andy. Now, Andy Reid is going to a Super Bowl, his second. He did talk about having the Lamar Hunt trophy, giving that to the Hunt family, which is a pretty cool thing.
That is pretty cool.
And he said, look, he was, of course, asked about the last time he went to a Super Bowl, which was with Philadelphia. And he did say, you know, it's very similar. You do get reminded of the memories from back then and all that. But the thing that does stand out about this one is when you can physically give the Hunt trophy to the Hunt family.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And that is a pretty cool thing. When I heard him talk about that, like, I just, as a football fan, I thought about no relation to Philadelphia or Andy Reid and knowing his history here for 14 years. Just as a fan of football. Is like, all right.
Is the NFC the Hallis? Cool. Is it the Hallis
Trophy?
Okay, yeah. So
George Hallis,
the Bears get handed it to the house.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's pretty wild.
Yeah.
So I thought about that, and I kind of got chills for a second because just as somebody who loves history of sport and history in general, that's a really cool thing. But when it comes to Philadelphia celebrating a success from Andy Reid, can they do that with a head coach that's 7 years removed from Philly? And I think
everybody say that it doesn't sit right. It's like that was 20 years ago.
I said multiple times throughout this Eagle season that I felt like I experienced five Eagle seasons in this one season.
Yeah.
So to say 7 years ago, Andy Reid was the head coach of the Eagles, it does seem like a short amount of time.
Yeah.
It seems like it's a hell of a lot longer than that. We went through the Gus Bradley interview, where Howie and Jeff Lurie were getting text messages from Chip Kelly, like, hey, you up? That kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then Gus Bradley leaves. They hire Chip Kelly. We go through that whole, the 3 years of just craziness. And then they hire Doug Peterson. A lot of people outraged. We referenced the people after they tweeted it out. The Eagles retweeted their original post when they hired Doug Peterson and all the people slamming the hiring and all that. I was always open-minded about it. I was like, yeah, why not? Let's see what he's got. Like, what? This is exactly the type of guy you're going to need after Chip Kelly. I didn't think they'd win a Super Bowl 2 years later, but yeah, they did. And we had the Super Bowl. We had the 2 years since where they made the playoffs despite only being 9-7. And meanwhile, Andy Reid continued to do Andy Reid things in Kansas City. Most notoriously, 4 years ago, goes into New England, has a lead, and then completely botches in the fourth quarter with horrible clock management. And then the Eagles hired Doug Peterson off that staff a month later.
Yeah.
It's wild to go back and focus on that time. But do people really look at Andy Reid right now and actually root for his success? Or is it just something like, oh, if it happens, good for Andy? Because I'm in the school of, oh, if it happens, good for Andy. I'm not in the school of, man, I'm really hoping Andy makes it happen for himself.
Yeah.
I don't see him as our guy anymore.
I'm like in between that. I'm not like standing there, come on, Chiefs. I'm not that. But I'm more than, oh, good for him. I'm kind of like, you know, if it happens, I'm happy for him.
Nothing he does now affects what he did here. So that's why I don't see any really correlation other than we had the guy here for 14 years. He turned the franchise around. We've talked about blackout games in Philadelphia before he was here, and now that's never going to be a case again. So, yeah, this franchise is completely different.
I like how you say, other than he came here for 14 years and turned the organization around.
Yeah, it's over.
That's kind of a big thing.
It is. Thanks, Andy.
Yeah. Well, thank you, and good for you. I have no problem with that. Yeah. The more we talk about it, I find myself, maybe I am a little bit rooting for him, but I am more of the side of, yeah, go get it. You know, I'd like to see him get it.
Yeah, I want to see him get it.
Nah.
But I'm not like Bob was doing cartwheels this morning, like, Andy's got to get one, Andy. And I was just like, yeah, all right.
Wait, what?
Yeah, you were all excited. You're dying for Andy to get one.
What color is the sky in the world you live in?
Blue.
Sometimes
always?
I wonder that.
Even if it was snowing?
But I'll be happy if he wins it.
Yeah.
Not like exuberance.
I feel like
you're borderline rooting against him.
Yeah, if you're saying like 51%.
Wow.
Like, no, if you're saying.
That's messed up.
But if you're saying.
Why?
If you're saying borderline, and I like, how can I say no to that when my only reaction if he wins is, oh, right, good for him? Like, that's not that far off. You're right. It's not that far off from being
your
like.
Your feelings of Andy Reid, are they more towards, I don't want to say hatred, that's too hard of a word, but are they more towards you have a bad feeling or bad memories of him or good memories of him?
I mean, we got to such a high point because of his coaching, because of his personnel decisions, but also his coaching and his personnel decisions only took us that far. Granted, it was farther than we ever experienced in the Super Bowl era, but I don't look back on it and go, oh, wow, Andy Reid, love that guy. Like, I don't look back on it like
that. How do you look at his years here?
Franchise altering.
Yeah.
And then I look at a guy that took us to the dance a whole bunch of times but never got on the dance floor.
Okay, that's fair, but it's good you got to the dance.
It was a good time.
Yeah.
We had fun. I'm kind of past it. and yeah, now that you've had another head coach take us further than that and win a Super Bowl, give us the ultimate high, give us the parade. I look back, if anything, I look back on the Andy Reid era with, like, forgiveness than I do anything else. Like, I look and I recognize it was franchise-altering, but because we experienced something even better than Andy Reid's time here, then I kind of look back at it and go, oh, you know, we're good. You know, somebody else got us the trophy.
If you're hiring a coach tomorrow to run your organization.
Doug Peterson.
Really?
I know the question you're going to ask. Yeah. I'm hiring Doug.
I'm still not there.
Because of the in-game.
Yeah.
Like, I think we can both, because I said Doug, too.
Mm-hmm.
We both admit that.
He had his quarterback call a play for him. He didn't call it.
Oh, stop
it. As Mark pointed out before.
Stop it. Andy Reid, I would choose if I'm, let's say, the Cleveland Browns, and I wanted to rework my franchise and build a new culture and new, I would probably hire Andy Reid.
Mm.
But if you're an established team and franchise, and you're talking more in games,
mm-hmm.
I would choose Doug Peterson.
So coming up in a minute, I want to get into this conversation about not the national media and their perspective of Andy Reid, but the national media and what this could mean for Philadelphia. I want to get into that in a second. And then the 76ers came up with two victories since we were last on the air. Good for them. They're back in action today at 3 o'clock. So we're going to get into some of the things that happened over the weekend that were a little disappointing in those victories, and also a little encouraging about those victories, because there is one guy that we've probably been focused on more so than anybody else, just in terms of development, not of one particular thing like we are with Ben Simmons and development of a mid-range game, but overall in his game, we've been concentrating on his development quite a bit. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Trey is out today, by the way. He had his park named after him, so he is still in Florida. He'll be back with us tomorrow. If you didn't see the picture yet, I know I've retweeted it. Trey tweeted it out there. He put it on Facebook as well, Instagram. Trey getting the park named after him in his hometown, DeLand, Florida, enjoying himself down there. The sign itself looks great.
Yeah.
It's all eagled up, which is great to see as well.
It's so cool in that it's not just a park getting named after him. It's the park that he hung out at as a kid all the time. And like that is really special. And then Trey, as we know, is a very humble guy. But you could tell this week, last week, he was pumped up about it.
Mm-hmm.
So much so that he iced us.
Yeah,
I forgot about that.
More on that later, because I didn't feel good the rest of Friday. 610-632-0975. Time of the Fanatic is 8:11.
Farsetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
8 o'clock hour brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. Here's the thing that it's not going to enrage me, but it is going to annoy the hell out of me. If Andy Reid does win a Super Bowl, are we going to get the national media again saying how we ran him out of town?
Oh,
is that going to happen? Is that going to happen to us? Like, they can't do that for two reasons, right? One, the obvious is, and I ripped that Colin Cowherd clown for saying that we ran Andy Reid out of town a year ago when he had that hot take. You don't run somebody out of town that's in your town for 14 years.
No.
That's not running someone. It's not even briskly walking someone out of town. 14 years he was here in Philadelphia. And then the other is, like, we can't look back on it and go, oh, yeah, well, if we had Andy, because we already had, we won a Super Bowl now as a city. Like, they can't. Yeah. There's no way they can go with that hot take BS, can they, Bob?
Of if only Philly still had this guy?
Yeah, oh, Philly never appreciated him.
No, that went away.
Can they go with that? Can they go that way? No, Philly never appreciated. Do we have to pull it up with that? No, right?
They could, no, and they could play a clip from you saying earlier that you don't care and you hate him. So.
I don't hate Andy Reid.
You know.
If Andy Reid wins the Super Bowl, my emotion will be, oh, good for Andy. It won't be, oh, that jerk. It's like, I think that's ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't think National will go back to it. I think if anything, they'll say after 21 years, you know, 14 of them in Philly, whatever. I don't think they'll go to the, and Philly ran him out of town. I'd find that hard to believe.
I would, yeah. I just know that there's going to be some national media idiot over the next 2 weeks.
Well, that wouldn't surprise me.
That runs out of things to say, and he ends it with, and look how they ran him out of town in Philly. Look how great this guy is. And I will be annoyed. I will not be enraged. And I promise you, it will not alter my mood other than just being annoyed.
All right.
That's all right,
we can live with that.
I will make this promise to the Philadelphia audience that I will not let national media members troll me or us as a city during the next 2 weeks of the Andy Reid's in the Super Bowl conversation.
Yeah, because there's a lot of space to fill. So, you know, a lot of weird things are going to come up.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Like, I think Doug said this best when he said it to Belichick at the Super Bowl. And he goes, man, how do you guys do it? All the times you've been to the Super Bowl, all the media, that's like, there's a game in here somewhere, right?
God, you hope so.
Like, at some point, you just want to get back to the thing that you love doing, which is being on a football field, either coaching or playing. And I'm sure that's got to be distracting for some other guys. And Andy Reid's got to go back to a Super Bowl that he was in, you know, 16 years ago, 15 years ago. By the way, the first Super Bowl for the Chiefs in 50 years.
How about that?
Wow. Jared on the Turnpike. What's up, Jared? Yo, Jared.
Yeah. What's going on?
Hi.
Hey, I wanted to chime in on the Andy Reid. I think I'm like able to kind of root for Andy because we got ours. If we didn't get a Super Bowl, there's no way I'd be looking to root for him or even congratulate him.
Us winning a Super Bowl for me personally has no bearing on how I feel about Andy Reid, because Andy Reid's not coming back here to help us win a Super Bowl. Nor if he wins one elsewhere, would that do anything for us here?
It does for me. If we didn't win one and he won and he was going to the Super Bowl, there's no way I'd like to see the Chiefs win.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll tell you this selfishly, and thanks for the call, Jared. Selfishly, I look at Andy Reid and I'm hoping he does win for one reason. I said he would. If he leaves Philadelphia, he's going to be a good enough coach in his next area, his next team, to win a Super Bowl. And sure enough, he walked out of the NovaCare complex, down to the airport, and then went to Kansas City, and he had a job in 2 seconds.
If they didn't win a Super Bowl a couple years ago, this wouldn't affect you more if Reid wins it?
Really? I know I am in the minority there.
Oh, okay.
I realize that. But personally, I can tell you, I don't care, because it has no bearing on me, on Philadelphia.
I would have fun sitting back. If Philly hadn't won the Super Bowl a couple years ago, I would have fun sitting back if Reid wins and watch people just get ape you-know-what crazy.
I do not deny two things. One, I don't deny that I'm in the minority. And I don't deny that Philadelphia would set the world on fire if he ended up winning a Super Bowl. That's the state we're in right now.
I'd be in a bad place. If he won before the Eagles did, I would be in a bad place.
Okay. So here's the scene. To ruin everyone's day. here's the scene. The Eagles, they haven't won. They fire Andy Reid. They hire Chip Kelly. That lights on fire. Then the Eagles hire Ben McAdoo.
Oh, God. This is getting grotesque.
And then that didn't work out. And then they like hired Jason Garrett.
Oh.
Like, we could be in the coaching carousel. Oh. We could be in a quarterback carousel.
I just got chills.
We could be, and here's where I'll hat tip to Andy Reid. We could be in the state that we were in before Andy Reid was here.
Oof.
But instead, we experienced a parade and we're much better off.
Did you see who Jason Garrett might be taking with him to New York?
Who?
Jason Witten, apparently.
Oh, okay, yeah.
He may be joining the staff.
That's going to be a fun one.
That's bizarre, isn't it?
That's a little bizarre, yeah.
Yeah, seeing Garrett and Witten on the sidelines of a Giants game?
That's pretty crazy. That's pretty
weird.
I don't deny that Philadelphia would set the world on fire. Everyone would be outraged if we didn't get to experience that parade, and then Andy Reid went on to give a parade to Kansas City. I understand. But I would look at it as, okay, yeah, that does rub me the wrong way, but... because we didn't get to experience that in 14 years, and he's there half the time in Kansas City, and there he goes. Now, all this is hypothetical, and we certainly have 2 weeks more to talk about this.
You're an emotionless bastard. That's the only way I can describe you.
No, you know what I am? I guess I am.
There's just nothing. There's nothing there. You know, it's not even a spark. There's no flame. Obviously, there's no flame. There's not even smoke. Like, there's nothing from you. Like, you're a cold soul.
He's not ours anymore.
Emotionless bastard.
He's not ours anymore.
It's pretty extreme, Bob.
Well, it's kind of true, though.
Yeah, he's not wrong.
Yeah.
I can remove myself from situations, I guess, well. But yeah, I just, whatever. If he wins, good for him. Maybe I would feel differently. I like to think that I wouldn't, but maybe I would feel differently if we hadn't won. I don't know.
All right, so Kansas City wins in 2 weeks.
All right.
Game over.
Uh-huh.
You turn the TV off and go to bed? Or do you wait to see Andy Reid get his trophy?
Sixers don't play that night, do they?
No, nobody plays.
No.
They just play the night before in Boston.
Okay. Yeah, I'd probably go to bed, yeah.
You turn the TV off, you don't watch Andy get the trophy. You are a hard.
Oh, no, I would watch post-game. Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah,
that's what I'm asking, yeah.
But I would any Super Bowl.
Okay. Fair enough.
I'm a journalist, Bob.
Yeah. A heartless one.
610-63-
But you're supposed to be heartless as a journalist.
610-632-0975.
Are you? Do they teach that in journalism?
Yes.
Have you met Bob? No, just
a couple of the bad boy of journalism.
Jamie, a couple of...
They take your feelings with them as you get hired.
A couple of heartless bastards sitting in the studio over here. By the way, Trey, once again, he's out. He's at his park is named after him in Deland, Florida, where
it's
he's from.
So weird. Having a park named after you?
See, if you're Trey, I would think that he's thinking, this is totally appropriate.
Just a park?
Yeah. It would be pretty awesome if we would have, like, sent Smirnoff Ices.
We should have.
To his parents or something. Hey, Trey, look under the swing.
Yeah, that was not good.
Did anybody else feel terrible the rest of the day?
No, I didn't partake.
I felt terrible all weekend, so maybe it was the ice's fault.
That's how... You even when you went home, you didn't... Get dropped to a knee and ice?
No. No.
See, that's where maybe you pass it on and you give it to your
wife. Yeah, I gave it to Jenna, Donna. My 17-year-old.
No, Donna. I was going to say Donna.
Yeah.
No. No. It's in the refrigerator at home.
People asked me this weekend. They were like, where did the icings come from? I was like, well, we talked about it like 6 months ago, how it used to be a thing like 8 years ago, and Trey didn't forget.
But it came back. The kids brought it back.
Oh, it is back?
Oh, because... my wife's younger cousin, who's like, she was in college, she iced us. She was staying with us over Thanksgiving. And I like was like putting she was sleeping on the sofa. I was putting the sofa back together. And she goes, oh, by the way, I think I left something on the mattress. I lift up the mattress. Boom. There's a Smirnoff ice. And I go, is this what I think it is? And she goes, drop to a knee. And I go, I guess I have to do this. This is in my house, but she makes the rules now. But anyway, it happened. I felt terrible the rest of Friday.
Yeah, they're not good.
I felt like I drank cake. Like, it was, like, ridiculous. So, anyway.
I just got chills.
So, anyway. What we were talking about a little earlier was the development of one of the 76ers. And we have harped on the jump shot from Ben Simmons over and over and over again. And it has just been mind-numbing. So, to focus on somebody else's development is another guy that took a couple of steps forward over this weekend. And Furkan Korkmaz is a guy that... put the ball on the floor a couple of times last week, much to the chagrin of me. But this weekend, against the Bulls, put the ball on the floor, put it through the hoop multiple times from three-point land, and just looked like a guy that was taking those steps forward where Brett Brown has talked about growing that bomber. And the last two games was a good example. Now, I don't want to freak out. It's 9 threes over two games, including 6-1 where he was 6 of 9 against the Bulls. And then he hit another 3 threes in good moments, too, big moments against the Knicks as well. The number one thing this team needs, and as much as we want to focus on the mid-range game of Ben Simmons, they just need somebody to knock down those open shots repeatedly. And if you remember, a couple of weeks ago, Joel Embiid was even quoted as saying, as a team, we need to have, if we have open looks, we need to shoot that shot and we need to knock it down. And we all, myself included, jumped on, oh, well, he's talking about Ben Simmons right there. Well, at the time, Furkan Korkmaz was struggling. At the time, Tobias Harris was struggling. He certainly was struggling earlier in the year where he went, what, 0 for 23 from beyond the arc? Then you see in these last two games, granted it's not top-notch competition in the Bulls and then, of course, a Ja Morant-less New York Knicks, but you see guys actually step up. Now, Tobias Harris struggled a little bit against the Knicks, but he was still, I believe, 4 for 8 from beyond the arc in that game. He wasn't hot by any means, but he was hitting his last couple of threes from beyond the arc there. So he steps up and he knocks one down for you. But Furkan Korkmaz over those two games was by far one of your most consistent Sixers. And that's not something we've really seen from him, Bob. That's something that was kind of evaded him. He's been extremely streaky. If the Sixers are going to hold their own, make a big run, and really prove to the rest of the league that they are at that same level that they can get to, like they got to against the Bucks on Christmas Day, they're going to need that outside shooting. Because they certainly had that on Christmas Day. Yeah. And ever since then, that well kind of dried up.
Yeah, and you know my feelings on that Christmas Day. Is that fool's gold there? That I mean, they did shoot the ball well, no doubt. They're not going to keep shooting that way. But, yeah, you need a guy like Furkan Korkmaz to do this. I mean, he's got to be this guy that steps in and hits a few threes a game that you say, whoa, you know, like the guy that you can trust, the guy that you can rely on. Is he there yet? For me, no, and probably for mostly everybody else, no. But he's inching closer. Right? I mean, your confidence level, Mark, since this season started in him, you know, Korkmaz, should he be getting 15 minutes a night? Mm-hmm. Now you almost kind of look forward to his 15 to 20 minutes a night, right?
Yeah, I want to see how long he can keep it going.
Exactly. Yeah, because you have to sustain that confidence in him, and he has to sustain it in himself, and the team has to be able to count on him that way. But almost because what else do you have? You're going to have to count on him. So, yeah, I think you root for him more than anybody else to get that shot going down. Yeah,
and then the other thing I'm also watching throughout these games is the increased playing time for Matisse Thybulle. Played 36 minutes the other night.
Yeah.
Matisse Thybulle.
Yeah.
Defense has always been there. He had a great block against the Knicks as well. The guy was just, he was looking great. And then you also had some big shots, against the Bulls. And then you just had some big shots from him as well, from three-point land as well. So you're looking at some of the younger guys. And Furkan Korkmaz... And Friday night, Brett Brown even highlighted it, saying you can't ignore his birth certificate. 22 years old.
He's younger than Landry Shamet.
Yeah, well, Landry played, what, four years at Wichita State.
Yeah, it's a shocker.
Yeah, but yeah, he's younger than him.
Which is crazy.
His name's just been around forever.
Yeah, I feel like we've been talking about Furkan for 6 years.
Yeah, right. He was like up there in the Dario, he's never coming over type of deal. But sure enough, here he is. I don't know when you can finally tell that consistent moment. I guess you just have to watch a stretch of however many games of when that guy really arrives. But if this is what Brett has been wondering really throughout the season, I'm hoping this is the moment where he starts to blossom. Without Joel Embiid, they need somebody else to help pick up the scoring, right? And they need that help from beyond the arc, especially with shooting as many threes as they do.
Yeah, it when it gets to the point for me is when he rises up and you feel good about it, like you anticipate a good outcome, then he's reached that level. Like J.J. Redick was that, you know, other guys have been there throughout the league. But for now, when Furkan goes up to shoot, it's kind of like, ooh, oh, okay. Right. You know, I'm still not there at that comfort level yet. But you talk about Thybulle.
But he's getting close, I think, right?
He's getting closer, yeah.
Yeah,
and it's going to take a stretch of 10 games, 10 more games, something like that, where I think you're going to feel the confidence. But did you guys see what Zach LaVine said about Thybulle?
No.
Do you know they were high school? I mean, they talked about it in the broadcast.
Rivals, yeah.
They were high school rivals.
Yeah, and he couldn't say enough about Thybulle and how good of a defender he is, and how good.
How about that one block from behind where LaVine gets by him, and then
oh my god,
he just like kind of swipes it from behind as he's dunking.
He's one of the few people that I've seen that has mastered blocking shots from behind.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's such a good trait because he gambles defensively, so at times he'll get beat off the dribble, but then he makes up for it by being able to block shots from behind.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
And it was, what, the possession before he hit a three down on the Sixers' end and then went back to the Bulls, and is where he had that come-from-behind block. And he swatted it, man. It was gone.
Thank God for him because their bench is not good.
All right. So then the bigger question, with all this happening now with the starting five, even with Al Horford still starting and all that stuff, at what point, I've seen this brought up a couple of different places, at what point, if Joel Embiid comes back, when Joel Embiid comes back, do you start toying with the idea of Al Horford coming off the bench?
Yeah, I don't.
And
I'm already there.
What, coming off the bench?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm...
And you're starting Thybulle?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so you go...
Just because...
Tobias at a four?
And I know how it comes off as an insult to Horford, but I think him free of kind of Ben and Joel would have more freedom to succeed with the second unit and help the team almost more. Now, look, if you're playing like a Milwaukee or something, I think you...
Yeah, the matchup is there. Yeah,
yeah,
sure.
I think it's situational, but I think he would bring a lot as a bench guy. And I know you're paying $109 million.
$109 million to help the team as much as possible.
Yeah, exactly. At this point, you're not going to be able to unload him because, you know, nobody's going to take it. And yeah, whatever helps the team the most at this point, money be damned.
Yeah, man, I just think it's, I don't know. I think it's something.
I think you could have a better team.
Yeah.
Huh.
I do.
Now you're throwing away almost 40 games of a season. Because
you
tried it, No, Embiid's been out for the last, you know, five, six, whatever. But you tried it for 40 games, and now you're going to say, nah, forget it?
Well, Al's better, I think we all would admit, in the mid-range and down low. He's got that dad kind of intelligent game.
Yeah.
I don't need him shooting 4.5 three-pointers a game.
I don't want that.
He's a 32% shooter. Like, that's not where he's at his strength. If he's on the second unit, he has more freedom to play down low, to play that mid-range game that killed the Sixers in the playoffs with the Celtics.
Mm.
I just think he's lost in a half-court set. To me, he's just like a three-point decoy that's not really a good three-point shooter right now.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, I think I said John Morant. I meant R.J. Barrett.
Yeah.
Pardon me.
John Morant's ridiculous.
Grizzlies, sorry. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Somebody called me on that on Twitter. Thank you.
I had written that on my napkin.
Thank you very much. all right, coming up in a minute here, there are a couple of weird things that happened during Championship Sunday in the NFL, and they've been blown up on social media. We're going to get to it. One included something that felt like a bit of a backstabbing here in the Philadelphia area. Another one that I'm glad not too many people have decided to watch Rome burn, as they might say. And then another one that was just weird. And it was weird because it had to do with the show's promotion. Now, the other thing is, a little off the beaten path, we've been talking about this Aaron Hernandez documentary, docu-series on Netflix. Bob and I have now completed the first episode. Jamie and Trey finished it long ago.
Yeah.
I think it was out for 30 seconds and somehow you guys finished it within that time. So that's pretty wild. So we'll get into that. And then the other thing is, we'll continue the conversation regarding Andy Reid and really where this resonates with people now as we give you an update on our Twitter poll coming up in a minute here. We'll let you know where the people stand on Andy Reid now making it back to his second Super Bowl. And once again, the first Super Bowl in Chiefs in 50 years for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, if the Packers would have won, it would have been Super Bowl I replayed again. Chiefs and Packers.
What better culmination for 100 years of football?
There you go.
610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Time of the Fanatic is 8:40.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Just real quick, a little side note here before we get an update on our Twitter poll. Yeah, Snoop Dogg was in Philly over the weekend?
Yeah, he was. The only reason I know that is because I saw Todd Herriman's post Instagram story from the concert. I think Nate Dogg, like, that whole crew was in.
He was...
They're cousins, those two, I believe.
Okay.
Snoop and Nate Dogg.
He was in Cheerleaders.
Was he really?
I thought I saw something like he was DJing.
Very possible. He performed at the Met, I believe.
Yeah, okay, that sounds right.
Yeah.
So Snoop Dogg just hanging around in Philly. Good for him, man. You know, one of the interesting things about that hip-hop documentary I was watching before I got hooked
on this. I've still been meaning to get to that.
It is incredible. Is that, like, I didn't realize this, but one of the founding members, if not the founding member of, like, gangster rap, was from Philadelphia.
Coolie D?
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, I think it was Coolie D.
But anyway,
let me look into
the guy would only do the interview if... So the show on Netflix, this guy goes around interviewing different hip-hop artists and all that stuff about the history of hip-hop and the evolution of it. And he only agrees, Coolie D only agrees to do the interview if the host of the show brings him his favorite chocolate cake.
Schoolie D.
Schoolie D.
Excuse me.
Okay, yeah. All right, so it did sound familiar, but...
Bring him his favorite chocolate cake.
He said, yeah, I'll do the interview, but you got to bring me my cake. And the guy's like, what? And he's like, you bring me my favorite chocolate cake.
Is that slang for something?
I'll do the interview.
No, literally, a chocolate cake. No, I love it.
There's this bakery I really like it from. Go get it from this bakery. So the guy knocks on the door, and he opens it up, and he's like, you got my cake? And he opens up the cake. He goes, all right, cool. Let me get a fork. And he goes and gets a fork, and he comes over, and he eats a piece of cake. He goes, all right, we can talk.
Wow. That's awesome.
And I'm like, I want that cachet in my life at some point. Where it's like, no, You bring me my chocolate cake. But anyway, it also...
Well, apparently Nate Dogg's dead. My bad. I forgot he died young. I just looked down and it was like, dude, Nate Dogg's dead. Who is he with? Warren G? Maybe that's what I meant.
This is just a spur of the moment conversation, folks. I meant to just talk about Snoop, but we went down another rabbit hole. My fault.
My bad.
No, but anyway, Snoop is out there in this video, and he's all done up in like not what you would assume him to be in.
Yeah.
Because like a lot of the guys back then were looking to be more like disco artists than they were like when it was really starting to come up. And apparently on the West Coast with like, I think it was Dr. Dre, like these guys were all wearing these leather suits with like those wraparound sunglasses.
Yeah.
Early 90s, late 80s stuff. And it was just like, wow. And what was just around the corner? Yeah. Totally different. But hey, still makes your head bop up and down. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975.
I just got like 20 tweets.
Are you getting roasted?
Dude, Nate Dogg's dead. Yeah, my bad. I meant Warren G.
Moving on.
Live radio.
We need Sam Wilson here to give us an update on our Twitter poll here with Andy. Because I stand in the same area here. And we're going to get to the weird stuff that happened that I teased before the break over the weekend. But I stand in the same area that I stood well before all this stuff took off over the weekend of Andy Reid. Is that, yeah, good for him if he wins. That's, I don't feel like that's hate. I feel like that's proper respect. Good for him if he wins. Not going to be angry.
You would say that about anybody. Good for him if he wins.
No, I would just flat out say I don't care. Like, I don't care. Like Kyle Shanahan, I don't care.
Okay.
Like, Andy Reid, I'm like, good for him if he wins.
Yeah, yeah. You're just above I don't care.
Exactly. Okay. I really am. Sam, where do the people stand right now?
Today we asked which best describes your emotion with Andy Reid making it back to the Super Bowl. We have four options. Yeah, this is great. Meh, good for Andy. Don't care or angry. We have just under 2,500 votes so far. 45% say, yeah, this is great.
Oh, wow. Okay. So 45 are actually excited for Andy Reid.
Yes. And then 41% say, meh, good for Andy.
All right. I think those people are right. And yes, it's because they agree with me. That's what I'm sticking with. 610-632-0975. But here's a couple of things that were odd from yesterday's games. One, well, we'll go to Kansas City. And nothing to do with Andy Reid, but more so to do with Jason Kelce, who was on hand to root on his brother Travis. Now, I will credit Philadelphia fans for not going down this awful rabbit hole, not lighting a ring of fire here. Jason Kelce was wearing a Chiefs jersey. He was wearing his brother's jersey.
Mm-hmm.
I have no issue with that whatsoever.
No.
On first glance, it's a little off-putting. But then, oh wait, it's his brother, he's fine, he's cool, in the clear. And afterwards, he even invoked the Eagles when he was addressing this to, I believe it was the Checkdown, or this was Kansas City Chiefs Instagram. They actually handed a phone to Jason Kelce to give the well wishes to his brother. Take a listen.
Hey, what's up, NFL? This is Jason Kelce with the Eagles, and I'm here supporting the Chiefs right now. My brother, 87 right there. Just really happy for him, happy for my man Andy Reid.
There you go. Oh, good. Well wishes. Everybody's happy. Everything's right with the world. Then something happened in the later game with the Packers and the 49ers that did rub some Philadelphians the wrong way, including our own Mike from Delran hit me up on Twitter just saying that this was a very odd thing. Mm. Boys to Men did the national anthem. Philly born and bred guys, very proud. I was at Lincoln Financial Field when they sang at the halftime show some years ago, and they just rocked the house. It was electric, right? Everyone was singing. It was great. And they're rocking out San Francisco 49ers jerseys on the field while singing the national anthem.
And I'm telling you, when they were done, one of them said, "Go Niners."
Weird.
Very strange. Don't like it at all.
Very weird.
I mean, yeah. I know they were paid and all, but... Come on, do you have to wear the jersey?
No, you don't.
Yeah, right? Like, if I'm Boys to Men, I'm going, yeah, that's fine. I'll just wear my normal clothes.
Yeah, I'll wear clothes.
Yeah. I won't be naked.
No,
I promise you that.
I'm not expecting to wear Eagles jerseys.
You can Venmo me or PayPal me. I'm just not going to wear a Niners jersey.
And then, so we expected to do something down the middle. Like, remember what Destiny's Child sang at the halftime of the Sixers finals against the Lakers?
Yep.
And there was one in an NBA jersey, one in a Sixers jersey, and one in a Lakers jersey. I think it was Pat Croce that even said, like, you don't want to wear that. You shouldn't. No, don't do that.
I thought there was only one that had a jersey that wore the Lakers jersey.
I thought there were two others. One was in a Sixers and one was in an NBA jersey.
Oh, maybe your memory's better. I thought, yeah. My thinking was that there was one in all Lakers, and it was like, what the hell?
Well, Google image it. That's how I remember it. But sure. I remember them being told, like, don't do that in Philadelphia. And sure enough, they ended up getting booed.
Stupid yeah. Kelly Rowland.
Kelly Rowland, yeah.
Rowland,
I believe.
Whatever.
You're so Philly, you can't pronounce last names.
I'm just sorry. I'm busy searching the internet for Nate Dogg tickets.
I hear they're cheap.
Look at me some chocolate cake.
Somebody tweeted and said it's not Nate Dogg, it was Tupac.
Who's more alive? That's the question. All right, I don't want to joke about that, but anyway. You get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So you have these guys come out, and they're the Boyz II Men fellas, and they're in the San Francisco 49ers jersey, and it reminded me a little bit, not that they were from Philadelphia or anything like that, but it reminded me a little of the Destiny's Child thing. So then you expect them to go down the middle a little bit. If you're going to be a known fan of one particular team, you can't wear another team's jersey. So then you have a guy come out in the stands who is solely there to promote his show, his TV show, which was airing after the NFC Championship game on the same network. Rob Lowe is in the stands, who is a known Indianapolis Colts fan. He's friends with Jim Irsay. And he's in the stands, not wearing a Chiefs hat, or excuse me, not wearing a 49ers hat, not wearing a Packers hat. He is wearing an NFL logo, the shield on a baseball cap. That is down the middle. Why couldn't Boyz II Men go down that way?
Yeah, I don't know. That was very strange.
So Rob Lowe has now become an internet sensation once again.
Yeah, he's a meme now.
This could not have gone better for the people of Fox.
I saw Chris Long retweet the Rob Lowe picture and was like, first match?
610-632-0.
You're right about Destiny's Child. It was one Sixers, one Lakers,
it was?
And NBA.
It was all split
up. You're completely on.
It was Kelly Rowland, whatever the hell her name is. She was the one wearing the Lakers jersey. I think
it's Kelly Orlovsky. I think that's her name.
Mozart. All these people with their confusing last names. It's hard.
Bunch of smacked asses.
It's hard.
What can I say? 610-632-0. Let's get to Bobby in Fountain Hill. That was all of them right there. Bobby, what's going on, man?
What's going on, Mark?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I just wanted to call in again on my way down the Willow Grove again.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.